Good morning. It is 8:42. Galesburg's Morning News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Meredith, Cameron Line, Nick Isher. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, Columbus Day. Well, a lot of crazy, crazy things going on in the world. Of course, the Las Vegas shootings happened last week, and you know, there's talk, a lot of things out there. Oh, nuclear war and terrorism and just really, really crazy stuff going on. And you know, your kids are taking some of this in with a 24-hour news cycle and, well, with social media, and they hear us talk, you hear you as parents talk. You got to be aware of that. And joining us this morning to talk more about talking about these issues with your children, Dr. Rob Lusk is the clinical director at an organization called The Baby Fold, located in Bloomington Normal, helping children and families, and joins us this morning. Dr. Rob, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks so much. I know it's been a while since we talked. We had you on before kind of about this same topic, but my goodness, the world just seems to get a little crazier all the time, and that really got me thinking, especially with that Las Vegas shooting. And I think part of it's the 24-hour news cycle, but maybe we as parents are even talking more about these things, and our children overhear this stuff, and they, you know, other kids hear their parents, so I'm sure children of a lot of different ages, from very small through high school or whatever, are hearing some of these things, and probably a lot of stuff out there that really scares them.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. And as you're noting, with the media coverage and with social media, kids are exposed to disasters, traumas, et cetera, at a rate, I think, that they never have been before. And so parents really do have some significant concerns, because kids are going to have a lot of questions and issues about you know, how am I going to be safe? Are you going to be able to keep me safe? Those kinds of questions are natural for kids in situations like this.
Yeah, and things that kids shouldn't have to be worried about. I was talking about this earlier that, you know, growing up for me was hearing Walter Cronkite on the news talk about guerrilla warfare and being worried about gorillas. I mean,
right.
You know, it kind of scared me a little bit, you know, during the late 60s and with Vietnam and that. But there's so much more other than that out there now that kids are hearing about.
Yes, and that's it's so true. You know, on the one hand, it still looks like from national data that kids are safer now than they have been for a number of years. It looks like it was probably around 1990 that the rates of crime involving juveniles, et cetera, were at their worst, and kids were more likely to be victimized in a variety of ways than they are today. But again, because of the coverage, because it's so easy to hear about it, and also because mass shootings in the United States certainly have increased in the last few years, it's scary for kids. And so I think it is really important for parents to be aware of that. And one thing that some parents try to do, which is understandable, is to kind of shield their kids from disaster or terrorism-type events. And really, kids need to talk about those things if they're aware of them. And it's surprising how even pretty young kids do hear about these things. It's almost impossible these days to truly keep your child in a bubble, protect them, in a sense, from hearing about these sorts of events. And so rather than trying to protect them, in a sense, I think it's really important that parents give kids their kids an opportunity to discuss the experiences in a safe, accepting environment at a level that's appropriate to the child.
Well, and I suppose, as you said, they're exposed to so much, and especially school-age children, I'd say, you know, whether it's kindergarten, first grade, I mean, they're all hearing different things. And, you know, as time has gone on, the things that you hear and talk about have changed. And we all probably remember things we heard as kids, like what this rumor or that rumor, but the things have just gone crazier, the things going on in the world. So a lot of different things out there. And probably, like you said, there's probably a lot of misinformation that the children are hearing also.
Yes, I think that's very true. So it's critical to provide accurate information at a level that your child can understand. And in general, it's better to talk about it or provide activities that enable your kids to discuss or process their experiences. In general, watching the visual images of disasters of terrorist-type events doesn't seem to help anybody. It's really hard for us to integrate those visual images, and so it's a lot easier for kids, and it turns out adults as well, to talk about what happened or read about what happened. For younger kids, making drawings, sometimes even creating stories, doing things like that to help kids either discuss or play out or kind of process what happened. And it's really important for the adults involved to remain calm and reassuring, because kids really take their cues from their parents, their teachers, and other adults. And so it's important to acknowledge the feelings and the loss involved when a tragedy occurs, but really emphasizing the community's efforts to clean up and rebuild. As Mr. Rogers pointed out, it's helpful to tell kids to look for the helpers, to look for the people who are helping in these situations, to recognize that even though, you know, there are people who do horrible things, there are a lot more people who jump in and help afterward, try to take care of the kids involved, and really to reassure the kids that life will return to normal. They need to know that.
Talking with Dr. Rob Lusk, he's the clinical director of the Baby Fold in Normal, Illinois. And Rob, there might be a parent saying, well, my kids never brought this up, so do I need to talk about it? I was like, well, just because they might not have necessarily brought it up with you, because they might not know how to do it, doesn't mean you shouldn't talk to them, though, and because and maybe they're internalizing it, and that's probably not a good thing either.
Exactly. If you're worried that a child might know about something, there is an excellent chance that they do. And if they don't know the facts, there's a real good chance that if it's scary, they're thinking the worst about it. And so I absolutely think it's a good idea to at least ask kids about it, ask them what they know, ask them how they're feeling about it, and again, emphasize their resiliency, emphasize the fact that they will be able to get through this, that you'll be there for them to help them get through it. But yeah, absolutely, kids tend to do better when you explore those fears. And if they don't have any, you'll find out pretty quickly and you can just sort of end the discussion. But a lot of times they do have fears, and it's helpful to explore them and, again, reassure them as long as it's realistic to do so.
You mentioned earlier that seeing some of the images isn't good for anybody. On the other hand, you can't keep kids in a bubble. But I mean, it's a little bit different than when we were growing up. I mean, that network news at 5 o'clock, that was the only time your parents could see it, and I wasn't necessarily watching it. I would hear it in the background. But now, I mean, there are so many sources for news, and you can get look at that newscast anytime, that maybe don't watch it while your kids are around.
Exactly. Yeah. Because really, the way our brains work, those upsetting visual images are actually stored in our brains in a kind of a different way. They're stored in a more primitive emotional part of our brain, and so they're just harder for us to deal with. They tend to kind of come back on their own terms when there's a reminder, and they're very upsetting. You know, they're very different from your typical memories of what you had for dinner last night or something like that. So the more you can avoid forming those sorts of upsetting visual memories, the easier it is to deal with the trauma, because you don't have those images kind of coming back like flashbacks. Obviously, it's not a full-blown PTSD-like flashback most of the time, but it's still that kind of experience. And so if you can avoid that, but still kids deserve to hear about it, again, in more appropriate ways, maybe.
What are some of the ways without a child talking about it to you, that you might know? Would there be a case maybe that a kid is kind of acting out in some way that they've seen? Would that be a way to know?
Absolutely. Especially for younger kids, one of the more common types of what's called a re-experiencing symptom, as in post-traumatic stress disorder, when you do have a flashback or a nightmare, in kids it's playing out themes or kind of acting out themes of the trauma. And so, for example, a girl that I was working with who witnessed a drowning began in doll play immediately. She wanted a pool introduced into the play and immediately wanted a character to kind of put into the pool and then try to rescue and put back into the pool. You know, does that, she did that sort of thing over and over again. It's fairly common for kids to have those sorts of re-experiencing symptoms, as they're called, and that's a real clue that they need to do some more formal processing of what's going on, because they're having difficulty integrating it, at least if those symptoms continue.
Dr. Rob Lusk, he is the clinical director of the Baby Fold and Normal, talking with us. And, you know, some of the activities going, you know, of course, a Las Vegas shooting is the one that comes to mind. And, you know, there's talk of, you know, nuclear war and things like that the children are probably hearing. But even other things that would be, I guess, kind of more mild but could really scare a child, something like the hurricanes and seeing the devastation, things like that, or, you know, I guess reassuring your child that, you know, we don't live in an area where that's going to happen and these people are all going to be okay and they're going to clean up. Yeah. I mean, is that kind of the approach you take?
Yeah, it is a balance, because you don't want to, in a sense, give them false hope if there really is a risk. But like you're saying, you want to reassure them that there are, you know, well, when it comes to something like hurricanes, again, that's not an issue for us in central Illinois, fortunately. And so you can reassure them about that. You can let them know that while we may have tornadoes or other types of disasters, there are plenty of services in place. There are helpers who are waiting to kind of jump in and help people in those situations. And that there will be, you know, there, things will get back to normal in a situation like that. And you can help your child feel prepared, particularly, you know, again, in an area like this, preparing for a tornado, having a plan that you practice going into the basement to a shelter, having a disaster kit ready. Those are all things that can help kids feel better, because they can participate in feeling like, okay, we're making active preparations for this, so we'll be able to deal with it.
Dr. Rob Lusk, clinical director of the Baby Fold, joining us this morning. And I guess, Rob, you're talking about the development of a child's brain and how some of those images stick in their mind. I mean, and that goes to even things outside of what we're talking about by, you know, movies and television programs. At what age does that development stop where that isn't necessarily a problem? Or what's appropriate? I mean, do you go by, like, the rating system? Is that a good judge, or just using your own judgment?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because there are certainly plenty of adults who don't like to watch horror movies for the same reason, essentially, because those visual images often are difficult to integrate, and they keep coming back and bothering you, in a sense. You know, my recommendation on something like that would be, and there are a variety of reasons for this, but to really try to avoid or limit the exposure to those sorts of violent or graphic images. I know when it comes to video games, there is some pretty good evidence that, although they don't always lead to more aggressive behavior, they do desensitize kids to violence and those sorts of horrible types of images, and that's not good either. You don't want kids to not feel anything when they see that stuff. And so it's kind of that, you know, that sort of weird tightrope that you walk. You don't want them to be too scared about them. You don't want them to get desensitized. And at the same time, as kids will tell you, and certainly my son, you know, did, everybody's playing these things. It's, you know, you can't keep me away from these things because it's just part of our culture. And so what I recommend is really educating kids, you know, limiting exposure to stuff like that and letting them know that you have good reasons for it. And then as they get older, letting them know about some of these types of effects and trying to find things that are interesting or fun but don't have those super scary elements, just because they don't really, you know, in a sense, they don't ever help kids as far as any research suggests. It's just something that they enjoy often. They're sort of seen as normal, but if you can limit it as much as possible and provide support afterward if they're upset about them, I think that's maybe the best approach.
At what point with something, you know, whether it's watching the games, video, or playing the video games, or movies, or the news, I guess, how do you tell whether your child may need something more than talking to you, where they may need some professional help? Would that come maybe from the acting out, or?
Yeah, I think for kids, at least what the research seems to say, and it's still, there's a lot of it, and it's sometimes contradictory, but in general, kids who have impulse control problems tend to get worse when they play those games. You know, so if they have a tendency to be impulsive or kind of aggressive or lose their temper, they probably shouldn't play them, period, because those kids will tend to get worse on some of those characteristics when they play them. For other kids, I would say, again, the ideal way to approach it would be to limit access or avoid access to those types. But, yeah, I would watch out for kind of the standard types of things you would expect after a child experienced a slightly traumatic event. Are they having nightmares? Are they having more irritability? Are they having trouble sleeping? Those kinds of things. Are they getting too, I won't say addicted to the game, but are they spending too much time doing that at the exclusion of other types of things? Those are all red flags. And it's, you know, there are no easy ways to do it as a parent, but I do think it's appropriate at the least to monitor it carefully, to let your child know that you're very aware of what they're playing, that you're interested in it, that you'll talk to them about it. And if they do, or if you as a parent have any concerns, that you'll do something about it rather than just kind of thinking, oh, well, that'll be fine, and not talking to them about it and letting them play whatever they want.
Dr. Rob Lusk is the clinical director of the Baby Fold in Normal, Illinois. Rob, always enjoy talking to you. Some great information. And parents, you can't keep your kid in a bubble, but talk to your kids.
Absolutely. That's the bottom line.
Rob, thank you so much for your time this morning. Always appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it as well.